in the head the other day because she'd just learned how to do a kung fu kick. So they're great moments, aren't they? And children are just wonderful to work with, but also hard work. Okay, just to get us going, we're recording this, so hello if you're on the recording. And there's a little exercise to do. I'm just going to give you 1 minute. And the question is, what's the most likely age for someone to become a Christian? I have just got some handouts here for you. If you want some pens, I'll bring those round as well. But what's the most likely age, do you think, for someone to become a Christian? And you could circle a couple of ages if you thought it was a couple. But just have a think about that. And you've got 30 seconds more. Okay, that's just to get you thinking. What we're going to do with this seminar is we're going to split it in two halves. So the first half is quite a bit more of me talking. It's kind of slightly more theory. And then the second half is going to get really practical, okay? So first I want to give you a vision for the next generation. And the vision is this. Here's the vision. Jesus in their lives from day one. Okay, Jesus in their lives from day one. So maybe you've got you've had a baby book, and ours was called Your Baby Day by Day, and it sort of says, you know, by day six, their poo's going to be less black and more yellow. You're like, okay, thanks very much. Or maybe, you know, day 30, they might smile, but that's actually just a bit of gas coming out. It's not a real smile yet. Thank you. Or day 150 or whatever it is. By now, you know, you can start them on solids or something like that. If God wrote a baby book, day 1, 2, 10, 150, Jesus involved in their lives. Jesus could be involved in their life by this age. That's the kind of vision. It might be a surprise. It's what the Bible teaches. So, just a few verses down there for us. Here's the first one, and it's about John the Baptist actually. And it says he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. And then David wrote the next bit, and he said, "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you." And then Paul wrote about a guy called Timothy, and he said this. He said, "You've known from infancy the Holy Scriptures that can make you wise for salvation through Jesus." And he says, "You learnt that from your grandmother, Lois." So three cheers for grandmas. And from your mother, Eunice. So from infancy, Jesus in your life, from day one. That's the kind of vision. Just as a child can have a relationship with their parent before they understand much and before they can give anything much back. But it's a real relationship, isn't it? Why is it a real relationship? Because you have chosen to have it with them and you're doing all the giving. Well, so it's possible for God to have a real relationship with a little one if he chooses to. I think that's just a really important perspective. Because God the Holy Spirit isn't limited, is he? He doesn't need to wait until, I don't know, we reach 15 and we can make a kind of informed decision for ourselves or something. He didn't need to do that in our lives, did he? So that's why that starting exercise was a trick exercise. Okay, because God's not limited by age brackets. Anytime, you could put a tick next to all of them. But I want you particularly to think, could be. 0 to 4, could be. Could be. Of course, it won't be obvious then at all, will it? And the leaping in the womb thing with John the Baptist, that's a very special thing. Okay, for most children, you won't see anything for years and years, probably. You won't know. There'll be loads of ups and downs as well, moments where they might say, "I hate God today," or something like that. We're not assuming every child will have this story at all. That might not be God's plan. His plan might well be, like maybe some of ours, that we didn't know him and then suddenly we did. Okay? But I'm just saying that Jesus could be in their lives from day one. And this is why I think we really need to believe that's possible. The first is, so we actually are praying and reading and singing and stuff like that at home from day one. Because you just wouldn't bother, would you? But we want to be like Timothy's grandma and his mum, teaching them scriptures from day one. But the second thing is so that we nurture any little signs. So we're encouraging and we're nurturing little signs. There's a church I attended where the only talks that were given to children were, "Now, children, remember that just because your parents are doesn't mean you are, and you're not yet, effectively, but you need to become a Christian." And that was the only thing that was ever taught to children. You need to repent. The minister didn't allow that children could be doing that in a little childlike kind of way. How do you think that felt if you were a child and actually you were having a go at following Jesus? How do you think it felt? Bit of a blockage. Yeah. There's no... I think it's quite hard to grow up with that kind of ministry, isn't it? Now, we mustn't swing to the other extreme and assume they're definitely Christians. Okay, that's a massive error. Probably once a year, it's quite good to have that little moment where you can say, well, here's a chance for you. But not to just make everything you say be, you're not a Christian, you're not. Because they could be. And we just don't know, and time will tell. And the Bible would discourage us from constantly asking the question, are they, and just get on and doing the basic thing that we need as grown-ups as well. Because what do we need as grown-ups? Well, every day and every week when we come to church, there's a call to repent, to say sorry for the stuff that we've done wrong, and then to believe and trust in Jesus freshly. We do that every day, don't we? That's the Christian life. I'm not becoming a Christian every day, am I? But I keep repenting. Lord, I'm sorry again. I keep believing. Lord, help me trust you for this. Help me trust in your son. I need to trust him. Please forgive me because of Jesus' death. Constantly doing that. I'm not becoming a Christian again and again. Okay? And that's the same pattern for our young ones. Not to be obsessed about big conversion moments, as if unless they've had this crisis moment, but just to nurture lots and lots of little moments of decision. Lots of little moments. So when the child says, for example, they say, "I love Jesus," you nurture and encourage that. Wonderful. So does mummy. So does daddy. And then maybe another day you say, well, actually, shall we pray that that love grows and grows? Or how do you think we show our love for Jesus? You know, but you're nurturing and encouraging. You're saying that could be real. Or a child says a prayer. You don't say, well, until you're a grown-up, you can't pray to God as Father. No, you say, oh, wonderful. Do you know, God hears everything we say. Or they say sorry to you, and you say, well, should we say sorry to God then? And if they do, you say, that's great. Do you know, God absolutely loves it. There's a party in heaven when we say sorry. God loves that. Or he wipes it all away, doesn't he? And those just become the little mottos in our family, as we're nurturing and encouraging any little signs, because God could be at work from the youngest age. Well, that's the vision. Here's a goal. Can I give you a goal? Okay, the goal is every child from the youngest age, praying, singing, knowing a little bit about the Bible, seeing the church as family. That's the goal from the youngest age. I don't particularly want to give an age on that. What, you know, we're all different, aren't we? So some, but that's the goal. You know, maybe by 4, 5, 6, 7, something, I just feel like, okay, I've got those, you know, I'm doing those things. Now let me just give a few caveats. Some children won't be such joiners in, okay? Or they won't find church easy because it's a noisy environment and they just, you know, sometimes children give their absolute worst, don't they, when they're here? Okay, we totally understand that. Or the other caveat is we're not judging in any way. There's absolutely nothing of that. We're all here together. And so different children will learn at different rates. We're certainly not putting them on the stage to perform. And you'll notice when we have the kids slot here, they're always down here. They're not performing. But I'm just giving us a goal to aim at. Not for all children just to sit still and never fidget or make any noise, but to participate in the normal wonderful things that we love about church. Singing, learning, praying out loud. At least we're aiming for that, okay? Because those are the most precious things in our lives, aren't they? Prayer, what a gift. The Bible, time with God's people, praise and worship. Do you remember that old song? I was made to praise. I was made to praise the King of Kings. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We love that. So you've got to believe that that is a wonderful gift to give your children, to get them doing that. Believe that that's where God is as they do the normal activities of church. I think many churches, I think, believe that you keep children in church because what you do is you try to give them stuff that isn't really about church at all. So let's get them off as soon as we can in the service to go and do some fun and games, because that's the stuff that might keep children in church, right? So as soon as possible, we get them out to do stuff that isn't really church. What we're teaching them really is that prayer, the Bible, the Lord's Supper, singing stuff, that's not for them, and it's pretty dull. And of course, then they're never taught how or how to engage with those things at all, because we're not even aiming for that. And so they've never prayed, and they've never really sung. And then what's supposed to happen is they get through youth group. They come out at about 15, and they get plonked into church. It's no surprise that they don't enjoy it. They don't know how to engage because they never have, right? And then we think, that just shows it, doesn't it? They don't like singing. They don't like this. Kids don't really do that stuff. And it just cycles around. Do you see the problem? So what I'm trying to do is instead get children involved and participating from the youngest age in a childlike way, in a way that can work for them. So that amongst the fun, they want to be involved singing and praying and sharing in the Bible in a real way, in a way that they can do it. And that's one of the things we're just trying to do here. So it's also why we had a family prayer meeting the other week, and we're going to try and do more of these sort of things. Have a go. Please come out. Okay, it's complete carnage, but we're just trying to say church stuff, that's for them. Okay, that's the vision. Now, how do you think kids are going to find it easier to join in with singing and praying and Bible sort of stuff here? What's going to make the difference, do you think? Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Has anyone noticed that's actually happening a little bit? So as they come up, they are starting to just kind of, yeah. Anything else that can make it easier? What will make it normal? Bring it home. Bring it home. Yeah. Yeah. That's going to take quite a lot of hard work from us, isn't it? But that's a big part of this goal, I think. So what we're wanting to do is to say, by a certain age, praying, reading the Bible, singing, just being part of the church family, thinking about Jesus. Those are just part of what we do. A bit like brushing your teeth, things like that, yeah? It just becomes a pattern. And you win the battle early on, it just becomes normal. So then they come into church, they go, oh, that's just big family. And then you're home, that's small church. That makes sense. Does anyone ask a quick question about that? And then we're going to get really practical. So that's, any questions? Okay, here's the practical. So Jesus in their life from the younger stage. You don't need one, do you really? I know this is silly. Okay, so what we're going to do, one of you is going to read a page of a Bible story to your baby. Okay, another one is going to say a prayer with your baby. And then another one's going to do a song, if you want to, with your baby. Okay. Right, just to make it normal, okay? Let's go. I'm going to do all of them in a moment, so. I'm so sorry, this is ritual humiliation. Okay, let me pull us back together. At least one table's done the singing, so bonus points and extra chocolate. Extra chocolate if you did a song. Here's your little one, and you've got your Bible story. Well, how much is she going to take in? Not much. But, you know, God can be at work, and it just gets you going, doesn't it? So, and you get over the embarrassment slightly, don't you? Great to do it together, actually. You know, as a little family. Get Jack involved. He can hold the Bible, can't he? Jack, you can be the Bible carrier. Okay, so he carries it down, and you do a quick prayer. Okay, help us understand the Bible. This is the most important book, Lord. Amen. Okay, and then you read. You read a little something. God sent Jesus to be his special king. Jesus is not like other kings. What's that making this little girl feel like? Oh, she's really happy, isn't she? She's about happy about King Jesus. And then you read on. Some kings wear fancy clothes. Do you think that's a king that would make you really happy? He's wearing really fancy clothes, isn't he? What's different about Jesus? Well, he was born in a stable, and so on and so on. And as you read the first few times round, of course, they're so little, aren't they? But as they get older, you can draw them in, and you're asking a few questions. And as they get older still, you're spotting things in the Bible passage that you can draw them in with. So, anytime we mention an angel, we all just get terrified in our house. So we're reading the passage, but an angel gets mentioned, and we have to just get absolutely terrified. And you just find these little sort of things that just provide a hook. So you've read your passage, and then you do a prayer. And again, just with the little one, keep something really short. Lord, this is important. Please help us listen. Amen. That'll do. And then a song. We'll do a few of those in a minute. We start with a baby from day one. This is my suggestion. Partly because, as I said, Jesus can be at work, can't he? So we really trust that. And so we're praying. Maybe even, if you've got a bump, we're praying at that point. Secondly, though, you actually have a bit more time. Can you believe it? You've got hours of feeding, haven't you? Or walking with a sling. Hours. Or pushing a buggy. You're exhausted as well, okay? But you do have hours. And so why not get a few children's Bibles like these ones? We've got a lending library through there. Why not learn some kids' songs so you know a few more than just the one or two that you remember from when you were little? If you've never prayed out loud or sung at home, just start, okay? Just do it. Just push through. That'll be good for you as well too, I think. Okay? But then also, it just means that you kind of just get into it. It becomes a habit for you and for the child. Okay? If you wait till they're about six, because you think, well, that's when they'll start to understand, you've got a massive battle on your hands trying to get them to do a prayer or read the Bible or sing. It doesn't mean it's not possible, okay? So if you're in that situation, please don't despair. Okay, it really isn't. But you're going to have to think kind of carefully, how do we phase this in, okay? But if actually it's just like brushing their teeth, you've still got a battle because they don't want to do it, brushing teeth, but it becomes sort of just part of the routine. So maybe there's just part of that that's missing for you. Like maybe the Bible bit's there, but the prayer's not, or the singing bit isn't, or the, or just talking about Jesus isn't. And you just want to think, I need to add that in. But 2-month-old children won't complain. So just go for it. Katie, go for it. And then, of course, we just want to make these things as normal as possible. Right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some ideas for praying with children and then some ideas for singing with children, okay? And you may have some of your own. So these are not rights or wrongs, they're just a few ideas. So let me just see what I've put down here. Some ideas for praying with children. There's quite a few there. Okay, well, popcorn prayer we did the other week, but it's basically you get a little pot of popcorn and you take one, you hold it, you say thank you God for something and you put it in your mouth. Okay, but it just helps fidgety children. Got to be a little bit careful. If that's the only prayer you do, then you might be just incentivizing. You get a sweet every time. So just, but that's just, that could just be a little something that just gets a child going, thank you God for, or dear God I need. And then, so that's what we call popcorn prayer. Heads, hands, heart. Lord, I'm worried about something in my head, so I'm going to pray for this, or I'm struggling at school and I need some help for my brain. And then heart, help me love you, or I feel a bit jealous in my heart, or something like that. And then hands, please help me use my hands today to be helpful, or something like that. So it's just something different. So heads, hearts, hands. 5 thank yous, does anyone do that? So just basically they've got to grab a finger and say thank you God for. Some of them are silly, thank you God for the toilet, thank you God. But you just roll with it. And so we sometimes just do that just before bed. Are there 5 things we can say a quick thank you for? Spin a globe prayer. spin a globe, point at something. Oh, that's a cool country. And then just pray for that. Photos. So maybe you've got some family photos, some cousins, and you can just, we put them on lollipop sticks, and so we pull them out, and we go, oh, let's pray for that person. Sorry prayer. Kind of obvious, isn't it? But let's do a sorry prayer. Secret whisper prayer to God. Okay, should we do a special one that only God can hear? By the way, some people just say, well, just let children always pray in their head. The reason I think that, like that is obviously fine, isn't it? But, well, early Christians only ever prayed out loud. Okay, they didn't have this idea of a secret little prayer anyway. And I think that it just helps us be kind of corporate, like part of the church, doesn't it? So we can agree with each other. We can learn from each other. If you did all your prayers silently, they would have no idea how to pray. So you learn by doing. So I'd recommend, at least, you know, sometimes you might say, you don't have to do it, but sometimes you say, we're all going to do a prayer. We're going to do a prayer, okay? And just make it something we do. On your shoulders prayers. So you're walking along the seafront, and you just say, what should we pray for, Summer? And she says, oh, I'll pray for Granny. Okay, I'll do the prayer for Granny. What should we pray for now? I'll pray for the sea. Okay, I'll do it. And you get some silly things, but they're in charge of choosing the topic, and then you do most of the prayers, and then maybe they do one. Okay? Under the blanket prayer, very similar. They're children, aren't they? So if we say, should we sit still without moving at all and do our prayer time? They're children. It's going to be very hard, isn't it? We find that hard too. Just a few ideas. Does anyone want to ask a question about praying with children? Or anyone got any ideas? Or do you all find it really easy? Is it? No, no. It's really hard, isn't it? So we just need to think where our particular kids are. And some kids aren't very verbal. Some just don't find that sort of thing so easy. Just like adults, right? Some of us. But it might be that Jack picks the topic for a while. So you just say, and he says, well, let's pray for police cars. And you go, well, great, let's go for that. And diggers. And he's picking the topic, so he's involved. Yeah? Just try something, I think. Okay, can I share a few ideas for singing with children? I feel quite passionate about this, partly because I think that that's how we learn stuff, isn't it, when we're very little. So our children used to have like a washing their hands song at nursery, and then they had, I think they had the toilet song at nursery. And they had a song which was about obeying and about saying sorry and all sorts of things. So you just remember, don't you? And didn't God put a lot of songs in the Bible? I can't help wondering whether that's because he just knows that's how we learn. So I feel quite passionate about that. And there's one reason we always try to have a song here. If they're really little, they can't sing, but they could just try and get them thinking, this is for me still. So it's a take the hand and tap, you know, or it's a shaker, or it's something. So they're thinking, I'm part of this. And then I'd suggest start with a few simple songs and do them every day for like 2 weeks. And if you want to, you could let me know what it is, and then we'll choose that on Sunday. So they practiced all week. They probably will then, it'll probably then bomb, won't it? And they probably won't, you know, they probably won't sing that week. But so maybe just pick the same thing and try and work out how you engage them as the little human being they are. So we do Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, little ones. And we point to everyone, and we always remind them that grown-ups are little ones as well before God. So they point at the grown-ups. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And then just a massive yes. And then we just got to kind of go as loud as we can and punch the air. Because they're children again, aren't they? So they're going to do songs like children do. And it might be that the best thing is to get a drum set out, you know, so you've got like pots and pans and they're whacking them and it's pretty noisy. Here's another example. He's got the whole world in his hands. You know that song? He's got the whole world in his hands. And then you say, okay, who's he got in his hands, Rufus? Oh, he's got mummy and daddy. Okay, he's got mummy and daddy. Who else has he got in his hands, Rufus? Well, he's got the toilet. Oh, okay, he's got the toilet, you know. And then he's got Lansing Tab, or he's got something Community Church in his hands. And so you're just trying to engage them again. So you've got the song, but you're using the song. If that one doesn't work and they hate it, just do something else. But if there's one song that they like singing when they're four, that's brilliant, isn't it? Now what we're trying to do is build a little repertoire that we use on a Sunday. So of course you could just go off and learn your own songs and go, well, I always liked this one when I was growing up. But I think that it might help our young ones to engage with church if we learn the repertoire that's here. And if you really love one from when you were young, then let us know and then we can put it into Sundays. But it means they step in and they go, oh, this is the family, right? These are the family songs. These are the songs that we sing. So I've just put a few of ours down. Have you guys got some classics from your way? Can you give us a couple that we can nick?
My Lighthouse.
Yep.
It's an adult
song, My Sweet Jesus. That's great. Yeah. You've got slightly older children, haven't you, as well? So probably our repertoire as a church will kind of develop as the children grow a bit. I'm kind of going for as simple as possible. So if you can't read the screen, which is where probably 50% of our kids are at, right? They're about 3, 2, 4, you know, then they're not actually able to read the screen. So I'm trying to get some songs that we probably get a bit bored of as adults, but we're serving the kids by going through them again and again. So they just go, I know that one. These are the songs that we sing. Brilliant. Oh, God is a great big God. Yep. Oh, thank you. And I think we'll probably come and steal some of your songs when our kids are a little bit older.
Is it possible to have some crink up the verses? I'm struggling with remembering all these songs.
Yeah. Well, why don't we do that? Should we make a little songbook that we put in the library? And maybe a little Spotify. We could have a Spotify playlist. Do you know how that works? I think we just send a link, and if you've got Spotify on your phone, and you just click on the playlist, the tab children's playlist, and it would just have 10 of our kind of songs. Might be good. Cool. Yeah. It's hard if you don't know them. Well, I put a few of the ones that we often do down on the sheet there, so that those might be ones you could look up and have a look at. In terms of Bible reading with little children, I guess that's another element. I just think it's too much to give you a whole load of stuff on that at this point. I'd like to do a workshop on that sometime just to sort of think about how you do it with different ages. But you're just going to become the expert on, like, how on earth do you get your child into the Bible. And I just recommend just do something. That's the biggest thing. Do anything. I've got a friend called John, and his dad at the breakfast table used to read a whole chapter of a grown-up. I think it was the King James Bible. And he used to just read it to him and just say a prayer. And the prayer wasn't particularly childish either. And John doesn't remember very much at all from it, but he does remember that his dad loved Jesus and thought the Bible was important. I think actually that's better than doing nothing, isn't it? But I'm not recommending that at all. And that's why we've got a big stash of children's Bibles. But if you did that, that would be fine, because you're just saying to your kids, you're showing them something, even if they learn very little. So, yeah, I'd love to do some stuff on that another time, but I just thought I probably don't want to overload us in terms of... what we're trying to do is we're taking one verse away from each Sunday sermon at the moment as a church, so we stick that on the wall. That's one verse. And then there are some questions for different ages, and we're just trying to commit to once a week. Okay, so that would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if every night and every morning you've got the Bible open and you're singing and praying. But sometimes when you aim that big, it then doesn't happen. You get really discouraged and you just give up altogether. So I'm just suggesting that we just do one thing once a week to start with, if that's new for you. And these are what we're trying to do in terms of just getting into the Bible. So do something. Just do one thing. That'll be great. And then you're a winner. That is all I was going to share, and we've actually got 10 minutes. Now, does anyone want to ask a question about anything more widely to do with parenting or about what I've shared? There might be a particular thing that's come up. We might just have a kind of query. I'll tell you what, why don't we just talk round tables for a moment? Just think, here's one thing I'm going to take away from this seminar. Okay, so is there one thing I'm going to do about this, or one idea that I found helpful? And then is there a question? Try and generate a question as a table, and then we'll have a few minutes to talk after. Go on.
What's the secret of keeping it going?
Oh, what do you mean, keeping Bible stories and things going? Yeah, that's a good question. Because I think what often happens is people get to about 4 or 5 and they go, well, I've done some children's Bibles and then I've sort of run out. There is a gap in the market at that age as well. Right. Okay. I can probably suggest a couple of resources that we think are good that might help. So freshness, fresh resources. At some point, you're going to have to just start reading your Bible, okay, a grown-up Bible. And I would say don't be scared, okay? You could just work through Mark's Gospel and just read a small chunk, but just do that thing like the angel thing, or, where any angel is terrifying, or just try and think, well, this is the most amazing story. So, like... you don't need the pictures in a children's storybook Bible to make it exciting. And you don't need to do more than 5 minutes, but you could just, can you pick out one brilliant thing that's really exciting for that day? I think that can be hard. So I'm going to, at some point, I'll try and run a seminar on how to just read a normal Bible with your kids. But yeah, some fresh resources. I think I can recommend 3 right now. So one's called Theology. And that does some kind of doctrine of God, but for children. And it's got some fantastic pictures. And it's called Theology. It's called Theology. It's trying to be clever. There's another one called Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. And we've enjoyed something called Bible... Tessa, what's the one we use? Table Talk. Table Talk is basically a little set of notes that's really well set up for children who are about 6 to 10, something like that. So you could try that. Great. Yep.
And, you know, finding the scripture. That was her job. I did the reading part, and she found that. But we'd done that, and now she's like,
How old is she? Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? So, yeah. I mean, I think what you need is probably a resource that's just incredibly engaged and connected so that she's thinking, yeah, this really speaks into my day. And at that point, she'll want mum doing discipleship with her because that's basically what you're doing. By 10, you're starting to say, zeros to fours, you're basically going, here are some stories. And you're just trying to get them going, that's exciting. You know, God's big and that's exciting. And then kind of like 4 to 6, you're trying to get some big truths, some of the key things in place. Then like 7 to 9, they start to ask some questions. So that's quite exciting because they start to go, well, where's God? Is Jesus God's son? And how does that work? And those kind of questions. But then by about 9 to 13, they're entering into kind of, they're wanting to say, does this say anything to life? And that's a tough phase. But it's really exciting because actually the Bible says loads to life. And you might need some resources and just start to think, okay, what are the things that... And you could put together a little sort of set of... you could say, well, okay, we've had a bit of worry about some things, haven't we? So should we find 5 Bible passages about worry? Or should we find 5 things that God says about you as a girl? Or, you know, so you're just starting to kind of really connect to their life. But it's hard. I'd try and hold on to maybe doing it at least once a week with her, because I think as soon as kids start going off on their own, they stop seeing Christianity as corporate. So I'm quite big on family worship all together if you can, rather than going off with each individual and doing one-to-one. I'm quite big on trying to do family worship together. Any other questions? So we've talked about keeping going. Brilliant. I mean, by being here and asking the questions, you're already winners, okay? You're doing the right things. Just keep trying something. Just try something. Okay, well, why don't I close and just pray? Shall I pray? Loving Father, thank you that you're a great God and you've got the whole world in your hands and you've got each one of our children in your hands. And therefore, as we think about our job, we also pray that you give us peace, and because I know how easy it is just to be anxious as we come away from something like this, and we just want to pray for our children. We want to ask that you would be at work from the youngest age. We pray that the seeds planted in their lives would sprout and come to life. We pray that they would be repenting and believing. We pray that they would own the things of Jesus. We pray, Father, that they would respond at the right ages for them, so that we see faith and love for Jesus at a 3-year-old, but then we see it at a 5, and then we see it at a 7-year-old, and then we see it in 10-year-olds, and so on. Pray for wisdom along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.